And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
All right, welcome back to the Yacht Club Show. Now on Spotify, by the way. This is our coronavirus pandemic survival show, part three.
How many do you guys think we're going to have? How long are we going to be surviving?
I'm thinking, it's depending on whether or not if we wind up doing these things every Wednesday, I think it's, what, three more or something? This is the 8th. They're going to go through the 30th. I don't know who's going to be the first governor to pull the trigger and it's off.
Well, I guess we got to settle in here then.
I don't see Whitmer saying, okay, it's over.
I'm thinking June, early June, mid-June maybe, but we'll see.
Killer, we got to give you your opportunity to pop your beer.
You know, you ask how are we dealing with this. This is one way.
All right.
Okay. Good job, Killer.
Yeah, this is a Michigan Amber Ale from Big Lake Brewing. Let's see where they're located. In Holland, Michigan, Big Lake Brewing. Oh. It's got that amber color. Got a great nose. How's that, huh? Great nose? Yeah. Let me see.
Very hoppy. Very hoppy, eh?
It's a little hoppier than I thought it would be, but how would I describe it?
Is it naughty or hearty?
It's hearty with pleasure to the palate and a great aftertaste. How's that? Something like that.
Okay. Good. Speaking of alcohol, say, did you guys see the article? I forget what state it was. I think Pennsylvania, where they banned liquor sales. And they've since opened it up because people rebelled so much. They didn't want prohibition to start. They figured it would be panic in the streets if they closed all the liquor stores. So most of the state kept the alcohol flowing. Hey, I got a comment from the last show.
Let's hear it.
Will from Wixom.
Long-time listener.
Long-time listener. Mm-hmm. Very long-time listener. He wondered if Dr. Jim realized what he said in his comment. It was something to the effect of worrying about someone's grandma. And I think it was, when do we look past? When do we move on from this?
Dr. Jim basically sacrificed grandma for the economic good, I think. Yeah.
I think that's what he did. And Will from Wixom wanted to know, does Jim realize he's a grandpa? So
I'd be on the list.
Yes, would you also be a sacrificial lamb at that juncture?
Well, you see, I take such good care of my body that I probably would be able to escape.
Withstand anything. You would not have the other medical issues that are involved, is what you're saying.
Age is not the only criteria there.
I gotcha.
Good question from Will. I think that was fair game. But as we knew, Dr. Jim would have a solid answer. So.
All right. So how are you guys adjusting to, we're into what, week three now of the lockdown? Remember those days that you never wanted the weekend to end? We got our wish. Honestly, today I did not remember what day it was. I had to look at my phone to figure it out.
Arlene was just saying today, boy, well, tomorrow's going to be Thursday, so we have to figure out what we're going to do for dinner tomorrow. I said, Thursday? It seems like it was the last time I talked about a day of the week. It was Saturday.
Yeah, I know. I honest to gosh, I did not know what day it was today. It's just one nightfall is leading into one morning, which is leading into another nightfall.
I get up in the morning, I feel like it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I get up, I go downstairs, I open up my iPad, I read the paper, I have two cups of coffee and a glass of juice, turn on the TV, see what the financial market's doing, and they don't even know what they're talking about, these people. They just talk for the sake of talking. I can't even believe the inanity that comes out of their mouths. And then you go to the cable news stations and the cable news stations.
You got to avoid those.
They are just, it is just people trying to justify their existence.
Exactly. They're making up news in many cases, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fake news, Mike. I think what I sense from everybody is they want absolute answers to when the stock market will turn around, when the virus will be gone. And I think if we've seen anything in the last, what, 3-4 weeks, whatever, since all this started, nobody knows much about anything with this virus. But when the, yeah, how the virus is going to turn out, or when the economy is going to turn around, when people are going to go back to work, it's all up in the air. And these people on television, the broadcasters, they want absolute answers. They just don't exist right now.
Yeah, so short of answers, they just kind of glom onto a topic and stretch it, embellish it, whatever they do, and it becomes news, but in my opinion, it doesn't really make the criteria for straight news reporting. Like we've said before, they got to get hits, right? They got to get hits on their website. They've got to get numbers in the viewership, and it's going to be very sensationalized.
Well, not only that, they got, that's when they start to go with the human interest stuff. You know, grandma who's 104 succumbed to the coronavirus and they can't go to her funeral. And
for the nurse who goes on anonymously, doesn't want to say where she works, but they don't have any equipment. She
right.
doesn't have any protective equipment. And yeah, yep. these are all terrible stories. I'm not downplaying that. But there are some good things. There is progress being made.
Right.
It may not be to the point where we can say, okay, this is going to end definitively right here, right now, by this date. But overall, there is progress being made. But to your point, Mike, that's not going to get any clicks or get any eyeballs watching your watching your station.
Exactly. There is progress being made. I did catch Pence a little bit. I think Pence has done a decent job. Compared to Trump, I suppose anyone would look presidential. And he's just a very calming influence, I think, during these press conferences. And I think he presents the information fairly objectively, but with some optimism. And you're looking for that. You need to see optimism from the federal government. And I think he's done a nice job. And I like when they report about the General Electrics and Ford and GM and their partners coming up with brand new ventilators and the 500 million masks that are being produced. I mean, boy, Dave, back to your point last show, America does rally around things. They do step up to the challenge. There are a lot of reasons for hope. This is a tough week. They're setting some records for coronavirus related deaths, but like Pence said, these are people that caught the virus before we really started instituting some of these controls. It's too bad, but maybe we can get over this hump in the next couple of weeks that things will start turning around.
I do think it's important that there are these daily briefings, because I think it does give people a sense of confidence in that somebody is doing something. Something is important or really accomplishing anything or not, we can argue that. But I think people want to know, if they didn't hear anything for a week, it's a fear of the unknown. And I think that they're giving as much information as they can. You want somebody to exude confidence in this thing and have some optimism. But I do think it's important that people hear this.
Personally, from my experience, I want to see what are they seeing, and can they provide us with any words of optimism? And that's what I glom on to. I don't glom on to the negatives per se. What I hear is Pence saying, we think this is starting to level off. Then I go to bed at night and I think, yeah, I hope that's right. I pray that this is leveling off, because that's the information that the federal government has given me. And, you know, I'm not trying to be naive, but I need some vote of confidence, some semblance of hope in my life. And I think that's what they try to do. I think they've been approaching it realistically. I don't think they've been sugarcoating it at all. But they do try to offer some guidance as to when you can expect this to start leveling off, maybe when we'll start to see the downslope of the bell curve. And just me personally, these daily updates, they're helpful for me.
But, you know, Mike, I think it's what we were talking about. Jim said it earlier, is that if you just listen to the updates, okay, and take your own information from what you heard, but then you listen to it criticism of the commentators we were talking about. And that then it becomes tough. And
it does.
Remember when Trump said he wanted he hoped the economy opened by Easter. I think that was okay. Well, that became an absolute. Okay, and he was hammered. Trump said the economy is going to be opened up by Easter again. He got hammered for doing that. And what he said was he hoped it would be. Well, I agree. I hoped it would be too. And I think I took that as the optimistic thing.
Yes.
And you could look at what was happening and you say, okay, that probably is not going to happen, but there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
But I think because the media doesn't like Trump, or they figure that their job to rain on the parade, he got hammered for saying that. And I think that they don't do anybody a service by their commentary.
I agree. That's interesting. It kind of clicked with me what you're saying. I'll watch these task force updates with Carol, and we'll both say, gosh, it just seems like he's doing everything he can. I'm not sure what more we could ask of him, right? And then you'll watch the cable news, and they're roasting him.
Oh, man.
Well, anything else we want to cover?
Something occurred to me today, and I think we should keep an eye on it. This should be showing up in the news in about a couple of weeks or so. How many parents do you think are going to lose it with their kids in the house between now and Labor Day?
Jim, it's funny you mention that, because we were walking today, and we could hear as we walked by a house, "You're driving me crazy." Oh, man.
I'm glad I don't have young kids. That would be, or teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
That would be brutal.
Oh, I'm busy right now?
Oh.
Oh, man.
I got, house on one side of me has three girls in middle school down to elementary, and the house on the other side of me has three kids as well. One's in high school, and the other two are middle school. And then they have all their friends, and they're out. I see them out now. They're running around in t-shirts and shorts, even when it's not even. I mean, I'm cold. I'm cold when I yell out, and they're running around in t-shirts and shorts. So I'm thinking about this, that it's going to get ugly come July.
Oh,
you'll be caught in the crossfire too, a little bit. Jeez.
Well,
both sides.
I'm going to be like that, that movie Suburbs. I'm just going to be sitting at my deck with my binoculars watching them kill each other.
Yeah. And you know what else, Jim? I think this summer, travel will be very curtailed.
Yep.
And so they're going to be home for the duration. So you'll be able to enjoy everything. All summer.
I need some entertainment. Even if we wind up going back to work, I say we in the royal sense here. If they start to go back to work, and they have people in our age group shouldn't be doing any real traveling until they get the vaccine.
Right, which is a year and a half. I think you're absolutely right. I told Kay that. I think that we're wearing masks and social distancing for the next year anyway.
Yeah, I mean, even the younger people are going to stop, and they're going to get—they're probably going to get herd immunity,
right?
We can't afford to do that because it's just going to be too risky,
right? You've got to loosen the reins a little bit, but you can't do it so quickly. If we are making any progress right now, that we go backwards, and that's a tough balancing act.
And then you look at it, you look at a country like Sweden. Sweden never went with shutting down businesses.
Or schools.
Bars and restaurants are open in Sweden. They closed the colleges and high schools. They left open the daycare and elementary schools.
Oh, elementary, I'm sorry.
And they're doing as well as anybody.
Better then, aren't they?
They're doing better than some, and, I don't know if there's anybody who's statistically doing better than them. So it's all a very...
But Jim, can I interrupt for a second? But didn't they do what you suggested last show? Didn't they try to take extra precaution or social distancing with the most vulnerable in Sweden?
Yes, Yes, yeah. They did that.
That was your point last time. So, you know, maybe if we just focused on the most vulnerable, like Sweden, maybe we'd be just as far along and the economy would be rolling.
Well, we might even be further because the best alternative we have to getting immunity, getting the antibodies or getting the vaccine, the best alternative we have is just developing our own immunity through people who are healthy, catching the disease, getting past it.
Right.
And then they become immune.
Yep.
And basically, when the immunity within the population passes a certain level, the virus can no longer be passed along.
There might really be something to Sweden's approach, which is very different than ours.
Two other things. Nadia the Tiger.
Yes.
How did Nadia the Tiger get a test? We don't have enough tests. Now, who pulled rank and got this tiger coronavirus test? I want to know that.
Wow, you got me on that one. I hadn't heard that.
Come on. All right. Okay, the second thing, alkaline. You want to introduce it, Mike?
Well, in the middle of a tough week, the Detroit area really got a blow. Alkaline, hero to many people in this area, former Detroit Tiger, former World Series champion, all-star, started his professional career right out of high school, played for one team his whole career. He passed away at 85, and I don't think anyone really saw that coming, although I think there's been some hints that maybe he hadn't been feeling well. Some quotes I read recently from Jim Leland, but a very deep loss for the Detroit area and for Detroit Tiger fans everywhere. Dave, I know that it's probably very close to your heart, being born and raised Detroit.
Man, a boyhood idol. You know, he was the Tigers. And when I was growing up, the Tigers, they weren't very good. It was always Yankees. You darn Yankees, Jim. You guys were beating the bejabbers out of everybody. And Kaline was about the only thing that we had up until 67, 68, when the Tigers finally won something. Yeah, he was magical. And remember, what everybody was playing Little League ball, two on two in the backyard. And who was Al Kaline? I'm Al Kaline.
Yep.
You know, and to try to imitate that stance and everything he did. But he was a consummate ball player. He was what they called him, Mr. Tiger. And he and Gordie Howe at that time were,
yep.
That's all Detroit had going for them.
Yep.
Back when I was a kid, he was something else. He was probably your Mickey Mantle, Jim.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, he could do it all. Well, he was defensive, offense, everything. Yeah.
Obviously, he's a lot closer with you guys in the area here than he was with me. But I always looked at him as I looked at, like, it was the all-star outfield when I was growing up, and that was Mantle in center, Ted Williams in left and Kaline in right.
Oh, that what an outfield that would be.
That was the dream outfield.
Yep. And Ted Williams said if anybody was ever going to hit 400 in a year, it would be Kaline. He made that comment about him. And yep. the thing I remember most about Kaline was his arm.
Oh.
Man, could that guy throw.
Dick McAuliffe. Dick McAuliffe, the second baseman for many of those years, said he never saw Kaline make a mistake. He never threw to the wrong base, ever. He always made the right play. His head was so into the game.
Yeah, it reminds me of us in our softball days.
Well, it reminds me of you and Dr. Jim, for sure. There, yeah.
My head was always in the game.
But, yeah, that's a tough one. That's
a great one.
Just class act. Class act.
Oh, and he comes from an era when baseball players played baseball, or yep. athletes were athletes.
Yep.
And they weren't experts on foreign policy.
Nope. Exactly.
So
and didn't have shoes to sell. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of that, I haven't seen any athletes called essential workers recently.
Yeah.
True. I guess they're kind of useless in the big picture.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
They are phenomenally gifted at a useless activity.
Now, hey, that is classic Dr. Jim. Right there.
That is. I'm gonna steal that quote. Great. Hey, Dave, update on the beard.
Still with me. I did trim it. It's getting close to being extinct, though. It's starting to itch, and it's kind of a nuisance. And probably this time next week, it's gone.
Might be history, yeah. Okay.
Might be history, yeah. It's just too much bother.
Yeah.
For me. Of course, if it gets cold again, like it's supposed to this week, maybe I'll need it for a little extra warmth.
Yeah, they might want to keep it for an extra week or so.
So on another note, you guys have your masks because Kay is making masks. Not only did she make bread for you guys, okay?
Okay.
From the famous 25 pounds of flour that we got, okay? She's also been busy making masks. And we've got, I get the prototypes, and she's finally settled on one, but it's kind of funny. She made this mask, but, you know, I don't want you to go out. You know, please, you know, can you stay in? But I go to the store. I'm the one who goes to the store, okay? So okay. It's all right to go to the store, but wear the mask, okay? But don't go out anywhere else but the store, okay? But now she's made masks for all the kids, all right? So they gotta get to, we gotta mail them to them. So now, okay, put on your mask. It's all right for you to go out. So kind of, it's all right for me if Kay needs something done, she needs somebody to go do her bidding. I'm all right, you know. At least wear the mask while you're out there. But we're covered with masks.
That's good. Masks. Boy, Kay is really rising to the challenge here.
But she's like Ma Engel.
Yeah.
She's taking care of things.
You guys would have survived on the prairie, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think, you know, next week we're going to plant some crops.
There you go. By the way, that sourdough bread, fantastic.
Was that good?
Unbelievable.
That bread is wonderful. Thank you. Thanks to Kay.
I'll pass it along. I delivered it.
Yes, you did.
That's the only thing I had to do with it. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, how do we tie this into Easter? Is there any possibility to look at what we're going through? And I'm looking to you, Rev D.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let me try this. You know, it does look kind of bleak right now, but I think we got to keep in mind, especially during this Easter season, that things will get better. You can't get to the resurrection without going through the grief beforehand. So my hope this Easter is that Christ's resurrection, his victory over death, reminds us of the promise of heaven and also reminds us that God does reign over all things. He does reign over the coronavirus, and God will enable us to overcome that virus. I just hope it's sooner rather than later. Amen.
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 Any Zen advice?
Yeah, I was just going to say that this whole situation is not pleasant, but in the grand scheme of things, it's basically annoying. You just think about what people went through over the last 1,000 years, and it's it hardly even qualifies as an inconvenience. So we just have to realize that we're pretty blessed with shelter, food, family, good friends. We can get a glass of beer and a glass of wine, whatever we want. And we get to gripe about it to each other. And that ain't all bad.
Well said, Dr.
Yeah, I'll say.
Thanks for keeping things in perspective.
Yeah, it sure does. Perspective.
Find a better podcast, listen to it.